You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, local, state, national, covering down on all of the issues. We have got your stuff right here. And like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. By the way, I've got Jeff Poor calling in at 3:30. So I'm about to move into a political discussion. And it impacts not just national, but like stuff here at home. But if you're looking at politics, what's kind of funny is they say that a lot of voters, and by the way, it's probably not this audience, because if you guys are listening to, you know, conservative news talk radio, you're probably more in tune with things like, you know, elections and the issues and that kind of stuff than most. But it's amazing how many people out there don't really engage. I mean, and I get it. I mean, they got a lot going on. I talked to a guy the other day who told me that with the job he used to have, that he literally would go for weeks without watching the news. I can't imagine. I don't think I could function that. What are you thinking, Boomer?
I mean, honestly, I was that way when I had a different job, when I was on the road.
You were on the road, though.
I was on the road, yeah. But, I mean, still, I should be in tune with everything. But, yeah, I went weeks without hearing anything.
Now, there's times when it can be unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to get away some this weekend before last and just spend some time sort of in a sort of praying and planning mode. Mm-hmm. So I literally did not allow myself any access to the internet, telephone, TV, nothing for about 48 hours. It was 48 hours.
Right.
But I can't tell you, the habit was, I mean, like how many times did I reach for my phone and go, no, don't do that.
Right.
I should tweet that thought. No, I shouldn't. But yeah, anyway, the bottom line is this. Here's my point. It is said by many who do this for a living that post-Labor Day is when everybody begins getting more in tune with what's going to be on the polls. So we're in the final march to the midterms. That's number two in the triple dipper. The final march to the midterms, and this is where you're going to start seeing an inordinate amount of money spent in some places. Now, less so in Alabama. There's going to be some. I mean, like, you know, Katie Britt's going to be the next U.S. Senator. There's just no way around it. She just is. Will Ainsworth's running unopposed. He won't run a single ad. Governor Ivey's going to be the next governor again. She's going to run a second term. She just is. I guarantee it. But they're still going to run ads. But in some states, like right now in Georgia, it is pretty intense right now. The Herschel Walker, Raphael Warnock race, the Stacey Abrams, Brian Kemp race. So in Georgia, if you live on the border and you're watching Georgia TV, you're seeing a huge amount of ads. And what's crazy is there are people like, I will say this, I looked at it and thought, okay, how'd you get my number and why? But I know how and why. But the reality is I got a text not long ago from Liz Cheney's campaign asking me to support her. And I'm like, what? First of all, no. And secondly, Liz Cheney's all the way up there in where? Wyoming. But you're going to see, here's the deal. It's because they all need money for the final push, especially in the competitive states. And this is the Labor Day March. The post-Labor Day March is big. So I got multiple stories here. And then at 3:30, my friend Jeff Poor, who comes on the show quite often, he's part of our Grand Council every Wednesday. We're gonna dialogue some about this. But the messaging, here's part of my situation here. I'm looking at it thinking, post-Labor Day, what's your message? Well, right now, the general prevailing thought seems to be Democrats are going to run hard on what I would call the dividing issues. They're going to run hard on things like, you know, abortion. That's a very divisive topic. They're going to run hard on things like transgender rights. It's a very divisive topic. So the Democrats are all in right now on a more liberal, divisive agenda, and they're going to go for it. And that's all they've got. I mean, the only thing they've got, they're going to go against Trump. So they're going to advertise against Trump, even though he's not even on the ballot. And they're going to advertise literally on abortion rights. And they're going to advertise literally on pushing for, you know, a more culturally progressive agenda. In some places, they'll push for green energy. What are Republicans going to run on? Well, right now, there are some that say the U.S. Senate is a coin flip. I got a story on that I'll get to in a few minutes. But we're looking at right now that one of the key members of the Republican National Committee says that the key word for Republicans is security. And they liken it in a number of ways to security in your economics. How about security in how you feel about the southern border? Security in terms of our standing in the national or international stage. And this particular guy, he says, for Americans, economic security, physical security, they have to make choices every single day about groceries and gas, and then things like Democrat policies making our cities into war zones. I mean, we've got left and right now, we've got situations happening where people are looking at it and saying, I feel insecure because of what you're doing, Democrat Party, and you're in charge. Well, that's going to wind up being one of the big voter issues, one of the big moves, if you will, the part of the march to the midterms is the messaging. And they're going to be pouring money into it. And you're going to have to look and see. Later on, too, not today, but on another day, what I'm going to do is take a look at some of the things that are going to be on the polls for you. We're going to have a number of statewide ballot initiatives, if I'm not mistaken, things you get to vote on. And you go to and I've had people text me in the middle, like when I was in the legislature, they would text me from the polling booth. Hey, Phil, I'm sitting here in the voting booth. What is Amendment Number 3 about? I totally get it because they don't make sense. You read them and you go, I don't know. I don't know. And I get that. So, yeah, we're going to try and make sure that we clarify for you things that are on the ballot, things you're going to need to know. But the bottom line is this. Start thinking, and you can get sample ballots out there. You can go to the Secretary of State's website, and you can pull down sample ballots for where you live. And they will have the names of those that you're going to be seeing on your ballot. They'll have the initiatives or ballot initiatives, whether it be local or state, that you're going to be voting for. Don't be surprised. Find them and know them and be ready for them. So yeah. I tell you what, Boomer, I want to do this. Let's take a break about 2 minutes ahead of our usual schedule. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. That'll give me a chance to develop this topic in full. And then at 3:30, Jeff Poore is going to call in, and we'll spend time sort of unpacking where we see this headed. Are Republicans going to take back the House and the Senate? What's going to happen to the Georgia elections? Because those are key. That's right next door. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering all of North Alabama, making it cool to be a conservative, man. Well, listen, I'm talking about number two in the Triple Dipper, the march to the midterms. In about, 10, 15 minutes, we're going to have my friend Jeff Poore. Jeff is you know, extremely knowledgeable in the realm of politics and in reviewing politics and being a pundit in politics. So I'll get his feedback, too, here in a little bit. But let me just tell you, right now, one of the things you're seeing is the media is all about downplaying any Republican wave. Well, keep in mind, Trump would have never been elected president in 2016 if it was up to the media. It would have never happened. I like to say for a fact that if polls were always to be believed, I would have never gotten elected. But there's that. But so here's the deal. I can't ignore it. I have to look at some of the things that are happening, and you can tell, by the way, there are some indications that Democrats have found a bump, all right? They found a bit of a bump. Democrats right now are feeling a little more breathing room, but we're talking about they're trying to get up off the floor. They're just on their knees, all right? There's not like, it's not like they're running around the room. They're just, they've gone from being flat out on the floor with the head of their ticket at a 37 or 38% approval rating to now Biden, by most accounts, has roughly a 40% approval rating. Oh, good. Okay. Well, is that a swing? Yes, it is. It's a swing. I mean, he got his huge spending bill through. The Build Back Better by a different name, the Inflation Reduction Act. God, still, I can't believe they named it that. The Inflation Reduction Act got passed. So all these green energy policies and huge green energy sector bills are now in there. Plus, oh boy, we get 87,000 new IRS agents to go out and hunt people down. Yay. So the progressives are excited about that. And then some measure of the progressive base is inflamed because of the Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. And all of a sudden, abortion is no longer considered a constitutional right, which it never was in the first place. So, yeah, they've gotten a bump. AP News story dated September 5th. That's what, yesterday. Red wave crashing? GOP momentum slips as fall sprint begins. Well, we are in the fall sprint post-Labor Day. Says, as the 2022 midterm elections enter their final two-month sprint, leading Republicans concede, I'd like to know who these are, notice they didn't name them, leading Republicans concede that their party's advantage may be slipping even as Democrats confront their president's weak standing, deeper voter pessimism, and the weight of history this fall. Okay, what did all that mean? All it meant, first of all, is Democrat numbers are not polling quite as low as they had been. They're still very low. And secondly, they also have what they call deep voter pessimism. I don't know where they get this, but the voter pessimism that I see on the right side is people who are irritated at the way that the last election, the 2020s, went. With all of the massive indications of corruption, with all of the questionable rules that were put in place, with the strange means by which votes were counted or not counted, it was inflammatory. That, to me, is voter pessimism. But what I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, as a quick rabbit trail here, don't not vote. I would much rather know that I went to the polls and voted, and for some reason it didn't count, than to find out that it could have counted and I chose not to. Just go vote. Just go vote. Let the chips fall where they may. If you see irregularities, call them out. Here's the last thing, the weight of history. History suggests that Republicans should dominate the November elections. All right, so the political landscape, according to the AP, still in flux. A string of victories for Joe Biden, it says, whatever. A string of victories that please the left. But it says, veteran pollster Neil Newhouse says, this midterm looks and feels significantly different than it did 6 months ago. The abortion ruling alone has energized some segments. Well, is that really a big deal? I mean, can you really expect to see abortion be the thing that causes people to cruise to victory? We want to kill more babies, therefore we can win more elections. First of all, abortion didn't go away in every state. Only those states like Alabama who had laws already in place that became effective because of the ruling from the Supreme Court of the United States are now what's curtailing abortion. Well, in Alabama, you're not going to be a blue candidate and win a statewide race anyway. You're not going to be a U.S. senator from Alabama as a Democrat right now. Now, if you're in Georgia, maybe you make hay of it. But if you're a purple state, do you really want to risk inflaming the independents in the race? So I would suggest that abortion is more likely a blue state issue. Well, nonetheless, Reuters, dated August 24th. Democratic win in New York signals power of abortion issue in midterm vote. See, I mean, they want it to be. They're trying to find something. A New York Democrat who campaigned on abortion rights and the future of U.S. democracy won a special congressional election in a swing district on Tuesday, a victory that Democrats hope could signal a fundamental shift in national voter sentiment ahead of the November midterm elections. Democrat Pat Ryan defeated Republican Mark Molinaro 51-48. It's actually like 51.5 to 48.5, with 99% of the vote counted. All right. After a hard-fought contest for an open seat in New York's 19th congressional district, which spans parts of the Hudson Valley and Catskill Mountains, It's known as a bellwether area in the state. The election took on what they call outsized national importance and became a testing ground for both parties' campaign strategies. Ryan, that's the Democrat, Ryan made the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights a centerpiece of his campaign. Molinaro focused on crime and soaring inflation that voters say is their most pressing concern. The district voted for Barack Obama 2012, Donald Trump 2016, Joe Biden 2020. So you can see it's a flip-flop district. Well, the Democrat won 51-48. Now, I can't tell you for a fact. I think this is a bit of a stretch for Reuters to say, it seems to signal the power of abortion in the midterm vote. I think that's risky. I think there's so much out there right now that makes abortion, I think a lot of people, certainly there are activists. I mean, there are people still right now marching on the Supreme Court justices' homes. Unbelievable. But I think I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that what we're looking at is the issue that wins elections, because there are still people who are ambivalent to abortion, but they recognize that they're Catholics, and so they're not going to allow it to be a thing that they invest their time and energy in, and that's everywhere. There are still evangelicals that believe that way. There are still just conservative agnostics who believe that way. There are people right now who are liberal in most respects, but they just can't get on board with the pro-abortion activism. And so I think it's a bit of a stretch to say abortion is the thing that wins elections. But what else have they got? I mean, they can't campaign on the economy. They can't campaign on national security. They can't campaign on energy independence. They can campaign if they want to on green energy. But all they're doing is telling people then that you've got to go ahead and flip over to a electric vehicle, but those cost an average of $66,000 per vehicle. Yeah, but it's for the cause. Okay. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm trying to find my objectivity in this, but I have a hard time believing that we're going to wind up seeing abortion be a thing that really drives election politics. By the way, I just got my numbers wrong. Biden's approval rating has recovered somewhat from a low of 36 to just 41. Okay, I said 49. I gave him far more credit than he had earned. So 41%. So he's got a 5% bump in about the last month or so. Well, nonetheless, Reuters agrees. Democrats have been widely seen as the underdog party up to now in the midterm elections for both House and Senate. Right now, the questions are, Senate, I don't know. However, I will say this. Democrats are on the defensive because they're trying to maintain what they've got, and they don't have a margin. They don't have a buffer. A 50-50 split. They lose one seat, it changes everything. Well, right now, story I've got here, which one is it? From USA Today. There are 7 midterm elections to watch, which are too close to call. They're calling them coin flips. Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, North Carolina. 7 coin flips. We take 4 of those, we take the Senate too. I'm saying, folks, if you're praying, people, it's time to pray. All right, coming back next, my buddy Jeff Poor from 1819 News and FM Talk 106.5. We're going to talk through it. What does he think? Where does he see? What's the messaging? What works? Is abortion the actual winning thing? Yeah, we'll talk and see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.